You know, as I mentioned, Larry Weber, not excited about the lack of a hard freeze. He talks about a healthy winter, and a hard freeze is a part of that, usually much sooner than now. But he is excited about all the moisture that we're getting and says that that is indeed doing some good for the Northland. Randy Hansen joins us in the studios this morning. He's the co-director of the Program in Environment and Sustainability Studies here at UMD. And we have to keep telling people over and over that weather is not climate change. Is that right? They're obviously related, Randy, but they're not the same thing.
Right. Weather is that which we experience on a daily or annual basis, and climate is the kind of structure that creates the weather, that produces the conditions for particular weather, right?
Okay. And so the people that say, no, there's no climate change because they, you know, had a really hard freeze in New York or something like that, they're kind of not looking at a big enough picture or the wrong picture?
Well, I think they're looking at an ideological picture that confirms that they don't have to do anything, or that their particular political party doesn't have to do anything, or they're, you know. And it's so clear from the 98-99% scientific consensus of global scientists who study this that we have anthropogenic climate change, and that it's ratcheting up. And no, it's not linear. It goes back and forth, up and down, but it's progressively intensifying, and will continue to do so over the course of our lives, and sadly, more so for our children and grandchildren.
Now, anthropogenic isn't a word that I've heard before, and that's kind of surprising and enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Does that mean caused by people?
Yes. You know, there are many climate changes in the history of the planet, and scientists talk about 5 major extinctions that have happened in the global history of planet Earth. And some of those have been shaped by climate change, and some by asteroids and so forth. And the present 6th extinction process that is underway is a different sort, because it was largely triggered by our human and particularly Western nations' use of fossil fuels. And so anthropogenic climate change refers to the fact that humans are the major source of the added greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. We had 273 parts per million of carbon in the atmosphere prior to the industrial era in the 1780s, and presently we're over 400 parts per million. And the kind of climate that projects, based on our understanding of when our planet had 400 parts per million in the atmosphere in the past, shows us that we have a much warmer climate on the way, and the oceans have absorbed some of that carbon, and so forth, the additional carbon that we've added. But that's all kind of being released, some of that. And so we are, we're in store for more climate changes progressively as we go forward and continue to burn fossil fuels.
What can we do? I don't know whether with some of the climate change deniers, if it's a sense of helplessness that, you know, what can one little person do in their life to make a difference?
Mm-hmm.
But I know there have been some actions that I think seem to have been helpful, and that has to do including with the idea of divestiture and asking, for example, you know, your universities and big companies to stop investing in fossil fuels.
Right.
Will that help? What else can people do, especially when you have a sense that you're up against big money, capital B, capital M?
Right. Well, I mean, I think it begins with taking the step to understand that we humans are part of an ecological system of the Earth, and that we have become a sort of systems change agent in that, and that we need to think about all of the ways that we interact with the planet in the sense of our infrastructures, and understand that those infrastructures, the way we grow food, the way we channel water, transportation, housing, energy, were all created to solve different kinds of problems than the big issue of climate change that we face today. And you know, we need to make changes in our infrastructure, because our infrastructure allows us as individuals to make choices about what kind of energy we use, or how we drive, or how we do that. And yes, as individuals, we have to make changes. We have to get to a point of creating small changes in our lives that add up to larger impacts. But we really have to demand of our institutions, of our communities, of our governments, and of our households, that we change the way we use the Earth's resources and ecosystem services, food, water, energy, but also how we drive and how we construct our buildings. And unless we get to that, you know, it's very difficult, not inconsequential, but it's limited in terms of how individuals can impact this problem.
Randy, is there a website that folks can go to, your Environment and Sustainable Studies Department, where people can go and they can maybe find some links to further educate themselves, maybe give themselves some ideas of some things that they can do?
Well, you know, there are, you know, there's an organization called 350.org, which was started by Bill McKibben, that is that the 350.org refers to the kind of threshold limit of carbon in the atmosphere. And so that's why he changed the name, that will prevent us from moving into dangerous climate changes. And they have done a fantastic job, both on the part of education, but also in organizing people to create change at various levels, whether our university systems or our communities or our state government, national governments, and so forth. So I would start there, 350.org.
We'll get a link set up, Randy, on our website, so it's easy for folks to find. And thanks so much for joining us this morning. Dr. Randy Hansen joined us. He is the co-director of UMD's program in Environment and Sustainable Studies.